listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
One for the treble, two for the bass. You know my style tip. It's time to flip this. I like my beats hard like 2-day-old shit. Steady eating booty MCs like cheese grits. My man, I'll be sure he's in effect mode. Used to have a crush on Dawn from In Vogue. It's not like Honey Dip would want to get with me, but just in case, I got more condoms than TLC. Now the formula is this, me, Tip, and Ali. For those who can't count, it goes 1, 2, 3. The anti- big up is who I be. Brothers find that hard to do, but never me. Some brothers try to diss me, but I'm a leak. They say you ditching me though. Care about no BBMCs. My shit is hitting. Trinity Gladiator, anti-hesitator. Shahid push the fader from here to Grenada. Mr. Energetic, who me sound pathetic? When's the last time you heard a funky diabetic? I don't know, man. I don't know, man. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast with your host Rod and
Karen,
and we are in the house. Mm-hmm. On a Walking Dead Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Recap time.
It is. Uh-huh. It is. And before we start, I want to tell everybody, namaste. I took my first yoga class today.
There you go. How was it?
It was actually very fun and really, really relaxing because, like, I want them YouTube yoga people, you know, for people who've taken real yoga class, you know what I'm talking about. You see the people on YouTube and I just kind of mimicked what they did, but I've never actually took an official class with like a professional yoga instructor. And they had one at the Y today, so I decided to go and take it at the Y. And it was a bunch of hippie white folks and one brother. And I was only black female. And they're my type of people because it was so peaceful in there. And not only that, nobody had no shoes on. I don't care too much for shoes. I was like, okay, because I know when I do it in the house, I don't put no shoes on because it's hard to kind of move around and do the poses without the shoes.
Right.
So I was like, oh, okay, we this is what's happening. And I learned a lot. I learned that I already knew I wasn't flexible. But they have like these blocks that you use, and so she showed me how to use the block because there was certain shit I was like, look, I'm not doing that. I can't reach that. Nah, this ain't happening. So for certain poses, if you can't do it, they have these blocks that kind of help assist you so you don't overextend your body.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have like this belt, not belt, but like, well, it's kind of what I call it, a belt that you kind of strap around like your feet in certain areas of your body to help stretch you so you don't like overextend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually really, really nice.
Did they yell at you, tell you get your butt up?
No.
Okay. So that's no. Only at the boot camp.
That's only at the boot camp. In fact, this lady was really, really sweet because it was half the time. I guess she could tell when I was confused because it's certain language that they use. I knew some of the position from being a YouTube yoga person.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I knew the downward dog. That one was simple. But it was some of them I was looking like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Or either she come in there and I'd be doing it in the right direction, or my hips wouldn't be adjusted right. So she would, you know, tell me, hey, adjust it this way, use it this way. And she was the one that came and was like, hey, you need a block. Because mm-hmm. I was trying. And she was like, I see you having trouble. Use a block. Here's a rope. You know, so. And we did it with the lights dim. So it wasn't really bright in there. So it was really, really relaxing. And they played the same music that they play when I'm getting a massage.
Okay, so it was relaxing.
Right. It was really peaceful and really relaxing. And the instructor was great because you could tell she paid attention to the class. So she would walk around and tell people, hey, you know, do it this way. Or she would actually get them a block and or tip. Or when she did stuff, she would do like a modified version of it. And I know with me getting back into working out, I know that yoga would kind of help with my flexibility and take a lot of stiffness and soreness out.
Mm-hmm.
On my body. And she was really, really good because she was like, you do what your body tells you to do. She was like, if your body say no, she said, like, don't do that. I was like, I got you. And you know, she was like, hey, are we doing this? Cause we did this one pose where you were actually standing on one leg and then you actually took the other hand and you touched your toe of the other leg cause you bend it up. And some people were actually flexible enough where they could actually stand on one leg, stretch their foot out with their other hand. I was like, nah, chick, I'm not doing that. I could barely stand up on one leg without falling over. So it was a modified version where you use your knees and stuff like that. So it was really, really relaxing. I think the brother was just glad somebody else black was in there, because after the class was over, he came to me. He said, I want you to know, they do your class 3 times a week. And, you know, she also do the same instructor here on Monday. I said, oh, okay. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I guess he was like, somebody else black in here. You know, because, and I guess they are black yoga instructors, but overall, it's
almost, there's a lot of black people that do yoga.
Right, but overall, it's almost like podcasting. When you see yoga, people just assume it's a white thing when it's not. It's just, you know, it's just.
Which is funny because originally it's not even a white thing, but yeah.
People just make that assumption, you know. And it was peaceful. It was relaxing. It helps with my flexibility, especially because for those, what I know for me personally, for those of you that sit for extensive periods of time, because I work at a desk, you're sitting for long periods of time and you get a lot of stiffness in your lower back and you get a lot of pressure up in your shoulder blades because we just hunched over all day, and so you have a lot of pressure points. So this helps kind of release a lot of that tension that builds up in those areas. So I'm looking forward, and I'm gonna continue to go to the yoga class. It was really peaceful. And also I decided that I was going to increase my water intake. Mm-hmm. Which is, I mean, because I've been drinking water, but I'm like purposely increase my water intake. And I'm gonna tell you one thing. When you increase your water intake, your bladder turns into like a 5-year-old. Mm-hmm. Cause like every 2 to 3 hours, it was like, Hey, go pee. I was like, shit, I just peed. It was, Hey, you gonna piss on yourself. I'm warning you now. Go pee. So I was up and down in the bathroom all fucking day.
That's good though. I mean, to get the clean your system out with that water. And, you know, I know, like, I drink water sometimes out of these really big glasses and stuff, but I have a pretty big bladder, so I don't have to pee as much as normal people, I guess, as a lot of people, because I can just kind of, I don't know, set my mind to be like, all right, I'm not going to think about it. So I've never, like, peed on myself or anything, you know, so far, knock on wood. But, like, my thing is, what'll happen is, and I don't know if other people do this or not, but like, I can switch off my mind where I'm just like, I'm not gonna think about it, I have to pee anymore. And sometimes, like, a really long time can go by, like an hour or two. And then, like, whenever I get up to go do something, like, you know, like, or I do go, oh yeah, sorry, I gotta go pee. Then I'm like, oh my God, I gotta go pee. Like, I gotta, like, at that, like, that, I've been chilling for 2 hours watching a movie and never for a second felt like I had to pee. And then the second I get up, it's like, if I don't piss immediately, I'm going to piss on the carpet. So it's just like, it's such a weird thing, but.
Yeah, I don't really know function. And because most of the time I can go very extensive periods of time. But one good thing about it is it's forcing me to move. Like, so I won't be that
extra. At work.
Right. That's one good thing about it. And like you said, it's flushing like a lot of shit out of my body.
Yeah.
And so that is a good thing. Like I said, I drink water, but like I said, the blue jug that I stole from you, that's what I'm drinking at my desk.
I bought, it's so messed up because I bought that blood jug on purpose, specifically for me, because I was like, I would like to drink more water. And if I had like a big jug or something that I'll just empty and refill every day, it'll be a good habit to get into. And I had, you know, I make these plans, and then I go to fill it up one day and it's just not here. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I know I bought a jug. Like, I thought I went crazy. I was like, no. My jug is gone. Maybe I dreamed it. Maybe I didn't go to a Family Dollar and buy that jug that day. Like,
is that my day?
I must not want to be healthy. I'm sabotaging myself.
I'm sorry.
I got a completely different mind. And then Karen just randomly mentioned one day that she had it at work. I was like, well, that would have been nice to know.
I didn't know you were looking for it.
I mean, I bought it for me specifically. How could I not be looking for it? It's, you stole it. You did. I wasn't even.
I did steal it.
Yeah, you stole my jug and took it to work. Messed up, man.
I'll buy you another one because Roger bought a replacement jug.
Right.
One good time in the dishwasher, that bitch busted.
I know. It's like the world don't want me to have a water jug. Y'all don't want me to bring more water, world.
I get you another one. I bet you it's a good one.
Good grief. Anyway, it's the Blackout Tips podcast. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today is day 462 that Bobby Shmurda is locked up in jail. And I guess I'd be remiss to say if I don't feel like I can start the show without mentioning rest in peace to Fife Dawg. One-fourth of A Tribe Called Quest. You know, you gotta count Jerobi. You gotta count Q-Tip. You gotta count Ali Shaheed Muhammad. You know, it's just kind of a sad day. He was only 45. He died from complications of diabetes. He had type 1 diabetes.
Wow.
Which I believe is the kind you're born with. You know, he had been struggling with his health for a while, but putting up the good fight. I actually wrote about it on the medium.com. What's funny is I didn't know what the fuck the medium.com really was for. I went and signed up on it because I wanted to leave a comment one time for somebody's post that they wrote. I thought it was like articles or something. Apparently it's just like you can blog there.
Oh,
like you just put up a blog, it looks nice to have some easy blogging tools. So I wrote this post on Facebook about Fife and Tribe Called Quest and what it meant to me growing up. And then I went to the medium.com and basically copied and pasted it and put a couple pictures in and explained, you know, what it meant to me, what Tribe meant to me, you know, growing up in the South, with listening to that type of hip hop, which wasn't like, the thing about Tribe is that they were hip hop, they were New York hip hop, but they weren't the New York hip hop that necessarily was popular everywhere.
Right.
While people respected them, Tribe was never in the, like, they weren't the it group to the point where like, oh, throw on some Tribe in the club. It was just kind of like, right. You know, you respect the whole Native Tongue family, you know, them, De La Soul, Jungle Brothers, Black Sheep. Like you respect all those guys, but you just didn't really see them have that transition to where they were getting major hits and all this stuff among, you know, especially down here in the South, you know, like that, it just wasn't really, it wasn't for a lot of people, but for me, I fell in love with Tribe, even more than De La, even more than Black Sheep, even more than, you know, everybody up there. Like Tribe just resonated with me. Probably my favorite group of all time, you know, right around there with Outkast and Far Side for me. My tastes are just a little bit offbeat, and I had a kind of little bit offbeat existence, you know, like definitely was black, lived in a black neighborhood, but you know, when I went to school, I took the advanced classes, which they kind of siphon you out of your black ass classes for your neighborhood.
Yeah, they do.
And you end up being like one of three kids in a, you know, three black kids or kids of color, often in these classes. And it's the same group of kids in all these classes. And, you know, in large part, it kind of, you know, you're kind of alone. Mm-hmm. And
it's a separation.
Yeah. And then when you get on the bus to go home, in a way you're kind of alone there too, because instead of you spending all day with your people from your neighborhood in the classes, I spent most of my day in this other classes, you know.
Right.
So it was like, you know, stranger on the bus, stranger in the classroom, because I socially didn't really hang out with white folks like that anyway, or really anybody that wasn't black. I didn't really socially have a network that way. And I wasn't really the kind of kid that was like, you know, let me reach out and make all these new friends. You know, it was just like, I'm here to get this lesson. I'm here to get this grade, but I'm not here to make friends. I was like a reality TV show contestant. I came here to win, not make friends. It was funny though, because, you know, I would, go to class and I would, have my Walkman with me, but in the hallways, I'll have my Walkman with me on the bus to and from school. I don't think there was ever a time where I didn't have Tribe Called Quest, either in the Walkman or right next to it with a tape that didn't have any words left on it, but I memorized every word of the albums. Certainly all the way through, Midnight Marauders and probably, Beast Rhymes and Life, too, you know, but I just remember, like, those, it, as weird as it sounds, those are my friends, you know. Yeah. In a way, it's like that. Yeah. Album walked me to and from school so much. So when I heard Fife die, I was hurt, because I was like, what? Like, I've never had that feeling about a celebrity dying before.
Right.
Because before, it's just always kind of been like, yeah, but I don't really look up to any celebrity like that, because none of them really had impact on my life like that.
Right.
Which is weird, considering that the one that I did feel emotional about was what most people would term as the second banana in a hip hop group. Like, I don't think I would have felt that way about Q-Tip, and I don't mean that derogatorily. Right. To Q-Tip, but Fife was just such a hard worker, and things seem to come naturally to Q-Tip, where Fife, I watched him grow over the course of 5 or 6 albums into like a complete rapper. Like, this is before, like, I want to say on the first album, he was on 4 songs. And it's not like, oh, they did him dirty. It's like, when you hear the album, you're like, yeah, he should probably only be on 4 songs. He don't have 18 songs worth of hotness in him yet. But he worked on it and got comfortable with himself. You know, he's a guy that, you know, he has so many iconic hip hop lines, but it's all, you know, sports references and, you know, references to his height and, you know, the height of Mosey Bowles, complexion of a hockey puck, you know, the 5-foot assassin. Like, he had so many bars, and he was into the shit I was into. Like, he wasn't this ethereal rapper. Like, he was this down to earth dude. Like, he said, he felt like you could talk to him. So it was like, you know, like, he's rapping and he's making references to sports. You know, he's talking about, you know, with John Starks on the Knicks, and you're like, I remember that game. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's, you know, he's talking, you know, I got more hits than the Braves and the Yankees. You know, like he's making references that you get, where, you know, some rappers just had this kind of outer space type approach. And I'll never forget that about Fife, and watching him grow into a more like complete MC. So you know, and I remember, it was funny, as a kid, I used to evangelize for Tribe Called Quest. So, you know, like, it's funny, because, you know, I'm not very much an outgoing person like that. So if I like something, I'm comfortable with me liking it, and you don't gotta like it. Fuck it. I like it, and that's enough.
Right.
And probably from enough people saying they ain't like Tribe is where this came from. So I've probably been this way since I was probably 15 to 16, but, I remember, you know, like, people would be like, I'll be like, what you listening to? And they like, oh, you know, I'm listening to Big. Oh, you like Big? Man, you a little Tribe Called Quest. You ever heard Midnight Marauders?
They look at you like, nigga, what?
Right. They would listen. They'd be like, I don't like this. I'm like, but this shit hot though. You know, like, I remember, I was working at Wendy's, and we used to take these drives in the company van up to the north side of, to Huntersville, I think, to, work in the Wendy's so we could get training. And they would drive us all the way back home. We were all kids. And so they would throw on people's favorite tapes or CDs, and I would always bring my Walkman with me and listen to my headphones, and they would be jamming to the shit that was on the radio, you know, yeah, Big, Pac, you know, all this, you know, the major artists of the time. And this is even really before Jay-Z was major like that.
True.
But they would be jamming out to that shit, and I would keep my headphones on. They'd be like, you know, one day they just like, Rob, why you always wear those fucking headphones? I'm like, cause I want to listen to my music. And it's like, man, what you listening to? And I was like, you know, Common and Tribe Called Quest. And they like, well, let us hear it. And I remember I gave them the Common, and they immediately was like, man, take this shit out, man. This shit whack.
Boo, nigga. This nigga, boo. Nigga. That's what the whole man did. Right. To you.
And then I'm like, okay. And they was like, what about that Tribe Called Quest? What's that? And I let them listen to that, and probably made it through a song and a half. That's like, man, I don't like this shit. Take this shit out, man. It's too jazzy.
Like, yeah, that's why I wear my headphones and let y'all rock y'all shit.
Right, I'm like, go back to C&C Music Factory, and I'll go back.
Everybody dance now.
Right. I was like, I'll go back to my shit. But it was, you know, I feel like I always wanted people to like Tribe, and I didn't realize until I got older, because I wanted them to like me.
Right.
It's like, if you like this, then you'll like what I'm about, you know, because this is kind of what I'm about. It's a little bit artsy, but it's a lot down to earth. It's a little bit, you know, jazzy, but it's upbeat too. Like, it's, you know, it's like, it's cool, it's creative, it's different, and that's what I wanted people to respect about me. So rest in peace Fife, man. Sad that he's gone, but he left behind a whole lot of great music, and ironically I listened to a lot of it today because I was down about it, but listening to it made me feel better, you know, which is weird, because I thought I better not listen to any Tribe Called Quest today because I'm gonna cry. And I was crying anyway, so I was like, I should might as well listen to it. If I'm gonna be crying, let me just be jamming and crying in the room by myself.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And so I started listening to it and I stopped crying. Like, I wasn't sad about it at all, because he left that legacy and it felt like he was still here. So,
and I have a question. I didn't read your blog, but you had pictures and stuff on your blog of you and your dad and your brother.
Oh, it was me and my brother and this kid named Jay. We went to Carowinds or the movies. I can't remember where. We spent a summer with Jay. And I just took that picture because it was just one of the many pictures I had with my Walkman. Cause I always had my Walkman. Like, I'm,
yeah, you did,
with two people. I'm in public. There's really no fucking like, we're going to see like a movie or something, so there's really zero reason for me to have my Walkman. But I guarantee some Tribe was in there. So but yeah, I saw that, and I was blink, you know, I was looking good in the teal. You know, shout out to
in the jean shorts.
Shout out to
what y'all young people know about jean shorts.
Shout out to wearing complete matching colors from head to toe.
Right, your socks match your shirt.
I mean, that outfit, when I bought that outfit, it might as well have been like, when you're living
yes,
single. Like, that shit was 100% 90s.
Yes,
like that shit should have started, like, Martin Lawrence came out and made a joke about it. That's how fucking 90s my outfit was in that picture. But I always had that Walkman. I fought a dude on the bus one time because he wanted to listen to my Walkman, and he was like the bully of our neighborhood.
Oh, you know, you ain't,
and I knew I couldn't win the fight, but I knew that I wasn't giving up my Walkman,
right, for you to fucking take.
Yeah, like, he just like, man, let me listen to your shit, man. I was like, one, you wouldn't even like this. Well, who you listen to? Tribe Called Quest. Man, I like that shit, man. Give me that shit. I was like, no, man. Because I'm like, what if he take my shit and don't give it back?
Right.
You know? And so he was just like, man, you don't give me that Walkman, I'm going to beat your ass. And I said, well, then you just going to have to beat my ass. Everybody was like, ooh. Because like I said, I did live in a black neighborhood, and that was routine.
Yeah.
And I remember getting off and hoping that he would get off at his stop instead of mine, and he did not. He decided to get off with me, and I took my book bag and I put my Walkman in my book bag, and I put my book bag on backwards so that the front was facing my, like, my chest. Right. It was on my chest. And I remember fighting this dude, and I don't call it fighting. It really wasn't fighting. I remember getting beat up by this dude, and the only thing I cared about was protecting my Walkman. Like, I just didn't want a punch or something, or to fall.
To break it.
Yeah, or him to kick it or something. And I don't know, after a couple minutes of him swinging on me and me not doing shit, he left me alone, you know. But I remember I was with my friend Damien, who also you know, liked Tribe, and he liked a lot of shit.
Public I remember Enemy. Damien.
And obviously he didn't help me in the fight. Mm-mm. But I remember, you know, I was so mad, because, you know, when you get beat up, you be mad. And I was walking home, and I was thinking of all the shit I should have did, you know how it is. Like, I should have swept that nigga then. I should have hit him with a roundhouse and then chopped him in the neck. And then after that, I should did an elbow to the eye, cause like that's how you do after you get beat up.
Yeah, you think about that now, but you'd have had to do some explaining to some parents.
I wouldn't have been able to do any of that shit. But in my mind, I was like, you know, I should have, you know, if I would have just swung backwards,
woulda, coulda, shoulda,
you know. But I remember like breaking down and then, you know, crying and shit. And Damien was like, you know, you all right, man? I was like, I'm fine, man. Just go ahead and go home without me. And he, you know, he started walking. Cause I was just so kind of embarrassed in a way.
Right.
But I put on that Walkman, throw on that Tribe, and walked home, and I was fine. Right. You know?
I take that as a woman for this.
I don't even know if I told my parents about that. You know? Like, cause by the time I got home, it was all good. You know? You know who else had a bad day that day? Fife Dog did. 8 million stories. Check out that song. Fife had a horrible day that day too. He went to Carvel to get a milkshake, you know. Honey, all my father's loot cakes. So anyway, rest in peace, Fife. And damn, did my mouse just die?
Oh, you need a battery.
I may need a battery.
I'm gonna say, I don't see no red light. That might mean it's dead.
Yeah, I think I need a battery for my mouse. Okay. Double A can. Yeah, that battery is dead. Okay. just like Fife, the battery is dead, y'all. It can never make a hot rap song again. But yeah, I remember walking home that day and listening to Tribe, and it was all good. So and I hope that, you know, I hope everybody can leave a legacy like that, that people can identify with when they grow up, and people can you know, it'll have an impact on folks well after you're gone. And why doesn't this shit want to work? Am I missing a switch or something?
I don't know. Is that battery dead too?
No, it can't be that. Maybe the mouse died. Oh, this is great radio. This is...
you know we got about 45 of them. You want another mouse?
We might have to.
Okay.
I have no idea what happened though. And I can't even pause the recording because the mouse ain't working. Oh, I got it in backwards. There we go. Okay. All right. And boom. All right. So you ready to, oh wait. This show is brought to you by, by a couple people. First of all, Shadow Doll Productions. We have an album, in Amazon and, iTunes. It's called Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. It's an album that we recorded audio plays on. Me and Karen play characters, and if I do say so myself, we are pretty funny.
We are
all like tributes to A Tribe Called Quest dead people. We are kind of funny. And you can check us out, man. So Sunspot and Other Ratchetness, buy the album, leave 5-star reviews for the album, let people know what you think about it. Even if you don't buy it, leave a 5-star review anyway. And also, we're brought to you by Bevel. That's right, this podcast is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com today and use code free TBGWT, and you can get a free first month of Bevel. That's right. Now, it's only for new customers and memberships only, so make sure you guys get in there and put it in your baby mama name. But whatever it takes, get your free Bevel shaving system, free TBGWT. All right, I know what you guys really want to hear about, The Walking Dead. I know white people are like, who's A Tribe Called Quest?
them Negroes and they tribes. What's happening right here?
Is it okay if I say tribe, or is that racist? But yeah, we are here to talk about The Walking Dead, episode 14 of season 6, called Twice as Far, which has a lot of stuff happening in it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can find, there we go. we back.
We are.
Yeah, in this episode of The Walking Dead, we find out what the fallout is from the Negan stuff. We find out how Carol has been affected. The crew starts thinking about life after taking care of the saviors, such as going out and creating getting bullets, getting medicine, things that you need in order to survive. True. What'd you think about this episode, Karen?
I loved it.
I liked it as well. I liked it a whole lot. A lot of twists and lots of turns and lots of shit that happened.
It was.
It got some pretty high ratings, 12.69. So, you know, ever since they came back from the break, you know, the ratings have been down just a little bit. But it's holding pretty steady at about a little over 12 and a half. So, good. 12 and a half million people still tuning in every week.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll definitely be getting another season or two.
Oh, yes.
All right. So you know how we do here. We go scene by scene, break this bad boy down. And no different here. This episode starts with like a montage of just everybody in Alexandria doing shit. Olivia's tending to the reserves, the stocks, you know, the canned goods and all that stuff. It's been a while since we've seen Olivia. Father Gabe patrolling with his rifle. Eugene was taking a post at the gate, maybe to do patrol, but now he has a machine gun. He's actually helping. Morgan is training with his staff. So it's good to see the crew staying sharp. The group staying focused, you know, you got people contributing now that weren't contributing before. Meanwhile, Carol is on the porch, just chain smoking Newports.
Man.
Like it's the leftovers.
She was smoking the hell out of them cigarettes.
Yeah. And the way she was smoking reminded me of the leftovers, how people smoke because they're just like, fuck it. I can't wait to die. And the faster it gets here, the better. So let's just smoke and not say anything. So she was sitting on the corner, on the porch smoking Newports, like all the dudes without jobs in the projects,
according to a train.
According to Republicans.
Oh Lord. Like the smoke coming out of trains.
They show Morgan building a cell, and he was putting the final touches on it. He had brick blocks and everything in his cell.
Honey, he had sealed that place up. He been working.
Yeah, like this wasn't no bullshit that he made. Like he made a.
He won't be sure you wouldn't get your ass out of that piece.
Yeah, and shout out to him because I said it last week and I'll say it again. I think him building that cell is one of the more important things that could happen for their society. It's about. He said Rick shows up and asks him why is he building it, and he tells Rick it's about having choices. And I agree. Everything can't be the death penalty.
That's true.
You know, too many, like, you can't, unless you're going to have this barbaric Negan type system, which it seems like Negan's system is, you know, cutting off fingers and, you know,
killing
people and scarring people and shit. Like, unless you're going to do that, you got to have some type of code, and a jail cell might not be the worst idea in the world. But Rick kind of had that look at him like, okay, you know, like that's cool. And honestly, Morgan's doing something that I think more people should do. It's a society, and really what The Walking Dead is about is rebuilding a society. I think a lot of people see it as a survival show. I don't think it's a survival show. I don't think it's sci-fi. I don't even think it's horror. I think it's a world building, society building show. It's what would you do if society crumbled and you had to restart it and rebuild it again?
Right.
And that's pretty much what Rick and crew have been building towards this whole time. And part of a society is you have to have rules and laws and shit at some point. And hopefully you can add some nuance to the rules and laws and have a prison of some type. And I think that's really important to build one. Plus the thing they had before, Jesus escaped from in 5 seconds, and the wolf escaped from it. It's really not secure at all.
Yeah, you just put him in a big ass room.
Yeah, like even if the wolf, if Denise would have been treating the wolf, it might have worked out better if they had a cell.
True.
Let's see what else. Carol was sitting on the porch and Tobin came and kissed her. And what'd you think about that?
Oh, so she probably looked like she started living with him.
Yeah, it looked like they're out in the open about it at least, right? Because before when they kissed, it was kind of secretly at night before she left. And now she's sitting on the porch in broad daylight smoking a Virginia Slim. And mm-hmm. he's coming by kissing her on his way to work. And the camera lingers on her face a little bit after the kiss. And to me, you could kind of tell that she's not romantically into him as much as he would like. Like, she smiled when she kissed him, but the second he walked away, every trace of that smile left her face. So to me, it felt like maybe she was putting on an act for him. You know, like, I'm happy, everything's fine, but really she's just like, I'm fucking devastated after the shit that we went through last week.
Right, and I think she wants some normalcy, and maybe this is just me.
What is normalcy now?
When I mean normalcy, it's like, she's like, because y'all think on the previous episode how she was cooking cookies, she was kind of doing things to kind of make it, quote, somewhat normal to what it was before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her being with him was kind of, I don't want to say settling, but kind of like normal, like, okay, you know, we kind of like each other. It will be, quote unquote, normal. I don't feel like I have to get out here and do these things and kill people. That's why she was devastated when they came. Well, not devastated, but the expression on her face was like, we got to kill again, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had got to the point where she was like, I might not have to do this anymore. I guess in my opinion, this is kind of how I felt from the character. And I think that for her, this was kind of, because like I said, she moved in with him. And I might be wrong because we didn't see the conversation. She was more truthful with Daryl than I think she was with him.
Yeah, right. I agree with all that stuff. I think she does see it as, this is what people should want, and this is what I need to get back to maybe and find something. But yeah, I think when she had the cookies and Rick came back and said they were going to have to fight, and her face afterwards said everything, which is that she don't want to fight anymore.
No.
And then the ordeal she went through being kidnapped was like the icing on the cake of, well, shit, I didn't want to fight, and now this is even worse, you know?
Right.
We also cut to Rosita, who's getting dressed, putting on her clothes. She stands up. We see there's a lump in the bed, and the lump, and this is after seeing Rosita's face, and her face looks kind of like, I guess, regretful almost, and the lump in the bed turns out to be Spencer.
Which I didn't see coming.
I saw it coming that they could be together or have sex or something, like be like that, it wouldn't be too crazy. During the episode where she complimented him when they both were on the top of the fence,
mm-hmm.
And she was taking over for guard duty from him, and she complimented him on shooting that zombie, that truck, whatever person, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I saw something there where I was like, okay, like, you know, maybe if things didn't work out with Abe or something, they could ship them. They're two reasonably good looking people. And I'm not as down on Spencer as other people. I think Spencer was a total dick to his mom, but he kind of paid that penance when he had to go find her corpse and get closure, and kill zombie Deanna. Also, I felt like his plan to escape the wall was a plan to try to save everybody. And, more than anything, this episode reminds me of like an idiom that I learned in playing basketball. A turnover is just a person trying to make a play that had some risk involved. But they were trying to help the team. But it's like, we look at turnovers as nothing but negative. But sometimes a turnover always happens because someone was trying to do something positive.
True.
Right. So, you know, it's odd to think about because nobody thinks of it that way. So I look at Spencer failing to escape and almost dying that time as a turnover, but he was trying to help.
He was.
You see what I'm saying? So, I don't know that Spencer is such a terrible person.
No.
But we have seen him be a dick to his mom and get drunk and all this shit. So I think it's just hard to see him as anything other than that, the guy who did that shit.
Right. And it was almost like, I don't know, maybe in my mind, it was one of those things where for Rosita, she was like, not talking about fuck it, it's dick, because it was right. One of those things where she didn't really look like she enjoyed the sex.
Yeah, she had that not this dick.
Right. She was face. Like, this is temporary. She really looked at him like, nigga, you didn't make me come. Why am I even here? I wasted my time. I should have been by myself.
And it also, it could be that thing too where somebody's not just regretful necessarily of how good or bad the sex was, but just regretful of any level of sex, because it's like, I'm not having sex with this person because I like them.
Right.
I'm having sex because I don't want to be alone.
True.
You know, I had a man in my bed every night for however long that she's been with Eugene and Abe.
Right.
And now she suddenly had the blanket pulled from under her, and she may be trying to get a semblance of that back, even though, you know, this isn't really the answer, because she doesn't really want to be in a relationship with this dude.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, Daryl got his bike back and Carol saw it. Daryl was looking like Red in Friday. Got my bike, my chain.
All right, he was shining it up and shit.
But he told Carol he should have killed them niggas. And Carol really sounded like she didn't want to hear that shit.
No, she didn't.
Like, not saying she disagreed, but she just had this look like, do we gotta kill every fucking body? Like, you know, maybe you're wrong. Maybe you don't have to kill him. But, I mean, she didn't argue with him, but she just had this look like, oh, here we go with the bullshit again.
Right. You can tell she's getting exhausted.
Yeah, which is totally reasonable. A lady who was, you know, came into this zombie apocalypse as a victim of a domestically violent, abusive husband, has turned into the biggest killer on the show. And as people who watch the show at home and have no attachment to that reality, it's easy for us to just go, yay, Super Ninja Carol. But when you think about the morality of losing her daughter, having killed you know, that one crazy child, like, the shit she's seen, the thing, you know, Sam dying, like, she may just have reached her limit, you know, like, I've had enough of killing, you know, that may just be where she's at right now.
Yeah, that, and I think that she actually kept a diary, and people kind of glossing over that. Mm-hmm. Her keeping that means something. She not writing that shit down just because. She writing it because it actually affects her, you know. And it's like, and I even think this is actually completely separate from Morgan. She been tracking that shit down before she even knew who Morgan was.
Right.
So it's one of these things where she actually been keeping the tally and been keeping the track.
And she says she can't sleep at night.
Right. So it has been directly affecting her. And I think, like I say, because a lot of people have a separation, they just see people. I think a lot of people think her actions are erratic, but I don't think they're erratic. They actually make sense to me, because most of us have never killed anybody in our life and really wouldn't know and understand the real toll that it takes on somebody to do that.
And I think Daryl has seen that she's affected by it, because he asked what they do to you. And I'm assuming he means last week when she was kidnapped with Maggie. Like,
right, because he was like, you're not the same person. Because I think he has a connection with her stronger than anybody else. So right. He immediately go, this ain't you, what's wrong?
Right. And she said to us, they didn't do anything. And I think in my mind, what that means is Carol's thinking to herself, what we did to those people is who we are now. And I don't want to be that anymore.
Mm-mm.
Like, at no point were we really going to be killed by these people, because they didn't know how fucking dangerous and savage we are at this point. And I don't think Carol's proud of that the way that we can be proud of it as fans.
Right.
You know, because, you know, to fans, it's just kind of like, Carol is super fucking dope. She's bae. She out here killing motherfuckers for, you know, for messing with the crew. And right. I think for Carol inside her own head, she's like, nah, that's not what I want to be. Then Carol went on the porch and she still held on to that crucifix, which, you know, I think shows that the shit she was doing last week wasn't 100% an act.
Mm-mm.
Where she was, you know, doing the fake praying and shit, you know, and trying to pretend that she was just like a church mom who got stuck there. You know, it, like, some of that's real,
it seems. Like when she told that woman, I hope I don't have to kill you. And I think that was real. She was like, I don't want to have to do it.
Right. What were you afraid of? This.
Right.
So Spencer is offering Rosita some beef jerky stroganoff, which sounds terrible. Beef jerky stroganoff, but hey, they probably only got terrible options at this point,
right?
In the Z-Pac, so
that's better than nothing.
And Rosita was brushing him off, and I think it's because he's just a rebound guy to her,
right? Act like she don't want a relationship with you, boo boo.
Yeah, and he basically said, well, just tell me one way or the other, because this is bullshit. Do you want to be with me or not? I don't mind either way. Like, if you just want to come over and fuck me and sleep in my bed, cool. If you actually want to get a chance to know me, then would you please allow me that chance? And she was like, yeah, yeah, whatever, we can eat. which isn't the nicest acceptance of a dinner date, but Spencer seems okay with, you know, getting a chance, you know? And I gotta say, I don't know exactly where Rosita's coming from, you know, with the Spencer thing, but I don't blame Spencer.
Right.
You know, like, I actually kind of enjoyed the way they wrote the scene, which was, you know, instead of the typical, like, you've been sleeping with me, you know, you need to be a man and tell me what you want to do. Like, it was the opposite, where it's a dude being like, I got emotions, you know what I mean? Like, it was kind of a...
Right, he looking like, I know you just broke up with your boo, so I could understand if there's nothing here.
Right. Denise gets the bright idea to go to Edison's apothecary and boutique, because there might be some medicine there. And she tells this to Daryl and Rosita, who are both like, that's a good idea, we'll go. And then Denise says, I want to go too.
And I thought,
and they say, that's a fucking terrible idea. You've never been outside these walls.
Right. That was my thing. I was like, why do you want to go?
But as all Alexandrians have proven to be on this show at one point or another, Denise decided to go the stupid route and say, if they don't go, let her go with them, she'll go by herself. Said, I'll go alone if I have to.
Right, and she knew that they would not allow her to do that.
At that point, you have to go with her to protect her, because she's a dumbass Alexandrian and she's the only doctor you have.
Right.
Now, I saw people saying stuff like, hey, I would make a rule where the doctors can't leave. Here's what you don't understand. You can't stop a human being from doing any fucking thing they want to in this world, unless you're gonna kill them or something.
Right.
At least in this group is not Negan's group or Terminus or some shit, where it's like, you can't go outside the walls. Oh, okay, cool, I'll just be a slave. Like, it's not how it works. So for people that were like, you know, she's a doctor, she can't leave, the fuck I can't? I'm an adult. They couldn't keep Maggie from going on missions pregnant. You think they're gonna be able to stop Denise?
No,
it ain't fucking make sense. And also, you gotta bust your chariot sometime in this world. You just cannot be useless your entire fucking time in this world, because you get mad when they're useless, you get mad when they don't know how to do shit,
right?
But then we get mad at them for learning, and I felt like Denise was pressed to go outside and learn. She's like, I took all my machete class, machete
101
coursework, and I like to get some field work under my belt. So she decided to go with Daryl and Rosita. My favorite part of this conversation is when Daryl turns to Rosita and says, you good with this? And Rosita says no.
Right.
Like, they both was like, this is a terrible idea.
Right, because we got to protect us and her.
Yeah. But the next scene, they're in a truck, and they're all in the cab of the truck, and I love just the funniness of the proximity. It's three people in the front cab of a truck. So it's like, you know, it's like, it's not like a car with one person in the backseat and it's Denise in the middle, and Daryl's struggling to drive stick. Yeah, he's driving this truck as a stick, and he's just struggling with this shit.
Like me driving, tearing the clutch up.
Which I thought was the biggest sight on television, other than Chris Kardashian in the kitchen on The Juice this week.
Yeah! I was looking like, now Daryl know how to drive a shift,
right? And Chris Kardashian, old country boy. Chris Kardashian ain't never been in no kitchen making sandwiches. Get out of here. So they run up, they're driving to the apothecary. There's a tree that fell into the road, middle of the road, to which I immediately thought it's a trap.
Yeah.
I thought it's a trap. They about to get hemmed up, fucking with Denise and her dumbass plan.
Right.
They get out and they find out the tree rotted. It wasn't people, so it wasn't cut down anywhere or pushed down. And some zombies were under it, and they had some alcohol. Rosita confiscated the alcohol while Denise stayed in the truck, and Daryl investigated the scene, and Rosita said, y'all want something to drink? Because I ain't turning this shit into Olivia, because you know Spencer gonna get it. And she decided to keep that shit.
Don't blame her.
Yep. And they basically end up splitting up here, because there's the rail tracks, railroad tracks that you can take to the place, and then there's like a road you can take to the place. The railroad tracks are apparently faster, but Daryl and eventually Denise decide to take the road, because Daryl does not fuck with railroad tracks anymore after Terminus.
That, and he's a fucking tracker, so his thing was like, no, from a perspective of you don't want to be seen, that's dumb.
Well, they were taking a road there. I don't know why they wouldn't be seen on the road. And his way did take longer. Put it this way. The reason he gave was not anything about tracking. He just said.
That's true.
He just said he wasn't taking railroad tracks no more.
That's strictly Terminix. And Rosita went with them, so she don't understand
right. His
thing about, nah, we ain't fucking with no railroad.
Yeah, Rosita
tracks.
Never went to Terminix, so she probably don't have the PTSD of looking at them tracks and thinking, I might get ate. But they split up, which is of course a horrible, stupid thing to do in a zombie apocalypse. But this show is about people, and people do horrible, stupid things all the time.
Yes, they do.
Some of y'all still got student loan debt. Now what? Anyway, I feel like every time someone says people did something stupid on the show, I always want to, like, someone should personally insult something they did stupid. It's like, you know, people do stupid shit every day, man. And you know, Rosita's still obviously pissed about what happened with Abe. But I figured Spencer's probably an upgrade. I don't know why she's tripping, you know? But, she's, you know, and plus Abe's sex talk is probably super corny.
Oh, you know, it's the worst.
You ready for my Bisquick, little mama?
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. You gonna take some of this mother dick tonight?
No.
Take all this mother dick. Mm-mm.
I don't want no gravy on my biscuits. I'm good. That's how that conversation gonna go.
Denise went with Daryl, and I do remember that scene where she said he reminds her of somebody she used to know and stuff when she gave him that food. So maybe she just trusts him more. But anyway, she picked Denise picked Daryl over Rosita. So if Rosita had to walk the tracks alone, and Daryl went his way.
Yeah, I'd have went with Daryl too.
Okay, sexist.
I sure am.
Wow. Well, all right.
Because he can track somebody down with fart and a hair, piece of hair. Why would I be with the other person? No, I'm going with the tracker.
Rosita probably taught everybody how to fight, though. You know, with her training and stuff, with the gun, and she taught Eugene, you know. Anyway.
I mean, she'd have been safe either route, but I would have went with Daryl, too. I don't blame her.
Eugene and Abe apparently have broke off into their group, and where they are both going on a secret mission that, you know, I guess Eugene didn't want to tell anybody about yet, not even Abe, as they're walking. And they had some of the greatest commentary ever. I really hope they start their own podcast talking to each other.
This shit the best.
They call Abe said, I see you cut off the mullet. The old Tennessee waterfall is what he called it. And Eugene talked about how he does miss it. There's nothing better than the breeze blowing through his billowy curtain. All this shit for a fucking mullet. Abraham said, you know, he could tell Eugene's been working, training, trying to step up, swigging some swagger with the ladies and spitting game, to which Eugene said, you don't spit game, you are game. It's like this entire conversation was so fucking good. I can listen to it all day. I don't know if it was appropriation or not. I don't know black people, they even talk like that. So I don't even know what that was. Like, mm-mm, swigging some swagger is not some shit I ever heard a black person say. Mm-mm. And you don't spit game, you are game, seems like some shit that's from like Martin or something. Like maybe they appropriated hanging with Mr. Cooper. Eugene went on this big analogy about how he is no longer the Eugene that Abe knew, and he's leveling up. This shit is all like a role playing game, and he's leveling up, and he's trying to become a more
developed character.
Yeah, he's trying to like contribute to everything, because you know my man Rick gave everybody that halftime speech. Mm-hmm. So Eugene's got a battery in his back now, and he wants to be somebody. Let's see, at this time Denise and Daryl catch up with Rosita, and Rosita says, who taught you how to fight? Denise says, who taught you how to fight, to Rosita, which we all know is probably Abe. Mm-hmm. And that immediately became an awkward conversation, because of course Rosita doesn't want to answer that shit. And Denise realizes it a second after she says it, which, welcome to my world. Are you pregnant? Oh shit, nope, shouldn't have said that. So she had one of those moments, and you know, Rosita was, you know, she's like, who taught you how to fight, Rosita? And Rosita was like, Yeezy taught me. And
Yeezy taught you where.
Yeah, that makes Rosita the Amber Rose of the zombie apocalypse.
Apparently so.
Which would then make Sasha Kim Kardashian and Abe Kanye West. And Michonne and Rick are Jay-Z and Beyonce. That's right. I thought this all the way through, guys.
That's deep.
It's deep. This is why you come to our podcast for the best recap.
Right.
On the internet. Basically, Rosita was like, you know, she don't want to talk about Abe, but he'll just become another lit on a long list of dudes that she learned shit from, but she don't fuck with no more.
Right.
And we find out Eugene's secret mission, he's taking Abe to a factory where they can make bullets. And Abe thinks that is the smartest fucking thing in the world.
It is. It's really smart.
Yeah, and I like it because Eugene is smart. We know he's smart because when he lied for a whole season, his lie was good enough to convince everybody because he was that smart.
Mm-hmm. And he does know some shit.
Yeah, he science the hell out of that lie, but he's done things in the past, made batteries and stuff like that. Like, he's not completely useless, but he ain't gonna cure the zombie apocalypse virus. So, but you know, it was a cool moment where it felt like Abe and Eugene were bonding, and Abe was gaining respect for Eugene. And then a zombie came over. Shout out to my man Abe, who told Eugene mid sentence to put a pause on it so he could go kill the zombie. And Eugene said, nope, I got this zombie. I called Dibs, and Dibs is Dibs. And he walked over to the zombie and swung his sword and a machete. And apparently the zombie died in some horrible wood smelting accident. Metal smelting accident.
That shit bounced off his head like a rubber kickball. I'm like, bing.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And as soon as that happens, Abe goes strike one. Then Eugene tried to slam it into a iron basin or something to make it fall apart, and that didn't work. And Abe said, strike two.
Right, because his head was fucking covered in hard metal.
And Eugene is at this point, he's determined to prove to Abe that he's got this. And so he tries to grab a piece of rebar, but the zombie is trying to bite him and it won't stop. And it's getting kind of intense and the music is swelling. And Abe finally steps in and kills the zombie. And Eugene, of course, gets pissed off and says, why'd you do that? Mm-hmm. And he was like, because I thought it would be better to save your life than to let you die.
Right, trying to be bold.
And
then I got to be accountable telling them that I watched you die.
Yeah. And Eugene was like, man, look, dog, I can do all this shit and I'm good. And Abe was like, you have better luck picking up a turbine's clean in, which I don't know what that means.
Me either.
but you know, he was basically like,
this ain't your thing.
Yeah, like you're this is why you had me come out here with you. You needed somebody to have your back. And so Eugene says, basically, you're fired. He said, I appreciate that, but I don't need you to protect me anymore. I don't need your services. Your services are no longer required. You can leave. And basically tells Abe to get the fuck on because he good. He got this.
And Abe looked at him like, bitch, what you just tell me?
Exactly. But Abe said, okay, if that's what you want, no problem. And he got up to leave.
Right.
And Eugene was like, hold up, wait, now?
Like, you telling me myself, you get home on your own then.
Yeah. And now, did you feel that this fight was really about that Eugene has come of age and Abe has been, he sees Abe is holding him back?
This, put like this, because Eugene is such a fucking awkward character, it would have been a better way to talk to him. But because he told him his services was no longer needed, mm-hmm. that's very mean to somebody that he knows, like, dedicated so much his life to him, honestly. And it's very insulting to Abe, because Abe does actually care. And it's one of those things where Abe was like, nigga, I could have killed you before when I found out you fucking lied to me, but I didn't. And now you're going to tell me I'm voluntarily doing this because I actually care, and you're gonna tell me my services are no needed. You find your own damn way back home.
I felt that this fight was actually about Rosita.
Okay.
I think Eugene watched how Abe broke Rosita's heart and how he treated her like shit all this time. And I think he wanted to hurt Abe the way Abe hurt Rosita on some level. I also think this fight is about Abe beat Eugene up.
Yeah, he did.
Nobody brought that up when I was like looking on Twitter, listening to podcasts.
Knocked the hell out of him.
This is the dude that beat him up. And just like I was looking at the bully who beat me up after I had my Walkman, like I want my, like I was going around like I would have did this, that, and the other. Like at some point you have to stand up to your bully. And I think in large ways, Eugene sees that Abe looks down on him.
Right. He don't respect him.
And he's like, you should look at me as at least an equal, and I'm gonna make the steps to make that happen. But I think this fight was just really about, you don't view me as an equal.
Correct.
And you should. You know, I contribute to this group in the ways that I can, and I'm stepping up in the ways that I normally can't. So you don't picture me as a charity case as someone you need to help. Now Eugene, of course, overstepped his bounds. I mean, he needed help with that zombie.
Yes, he did.
But the point being, I think that's how Eugene sees it, as the guy who beat me up saving me again. You yeah. know, and he don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, because I think most of the series, when it came to Eugene, he's always been the one hiding. He's always been the one, even when they was on the bus and the bus flipped over and, you know, he was scared of coming out of there. It's one of those things where he's kind of always been a coward. And so for the first time ever, he's stepping up to the plate. And he was like, well, I'm stepping up to the plate. I can't be a coward no more.
Well, he's made small changes, right? He saved Tara.
Which was actually huge for him, yes.
Yeah. He fought that one dude who ended up beating him and later shot Glenn. I forget that dude's. Andrew was? I forget what his name was. Aaron or Andrew or something. Anyway, he fought that dude. And that dude ends up beating him up, but, you know, I think it was Glenn then came up and finished the job or something like that. Mm-hmm. I forget who it was. Don't write us and tell us how we got that wrong, because I don't give a fuck.
Nicholas,
that was that dick's name. So yeah, he, you know, which is in some ways is braver to step up knowing you're gonna get your ass whooped than it is to fight the fair one and think you can win, right?
True.
So he's been brushing off the cowardice for a while now, and I feel like the character's coming full, well, he's coming around, you know, and right. He's still overdoing it a bit, but his heart's in the right place.
Now, that's what I did get, that his heart's in the right place, and it's one of those things where I might not be able to do the things that you can do, but I'm not worthless and useless.
So then we get back to the apothecary, and we find out that Daryl and Rosita and Denise have hit the jackpot. They found all the medicines at the pharmacy. Now Denise's entire alibi for why she needed to go on this trip was she can pick out the medicines they need the best or the most or whatever, and Daryl's like, fuck it, we just taking them all. So they decide to take them all. They hear a zombie, but they realize from the sound that it's trapped somewhere, so they're just like, oh, we're safe.
Right, because they've been doing this long enough to know if it's moving or not.
Mm-hmm. And so Denise, while everybody's packing up medicine, decides to go investigate.
I was like, bitch, you don't get fucked up in the paint going in the... It's like, you didn't even hold the machete right. Rosita had to tell you that's the wrong way to hold the machete.
Right. She walks into the bathroom where the zombie noise is coming from. She uses a flashlight and sees there's a dead zombie on the floor making a bunch of noise with a cast on his leg and no jawbone. Then she looks onto like what appears to be like a sink or a changing table or something. Mm-hmm. And there's a baby shoe and a whole bunch of blood and shit. And on the wall, there's a sign that says, hush, hush, hush. And it seems like maybe someone got stuck in there with their baby and ate their baby.
That's what it looked like to me, son.
Oh. Well, that's ironic because just last week, Paula, I think was her name, was saying that babies are nothing but snacks for the zombies.
Right.
So there you go.
Or either that, that makes sense. Cut them up, because I would say change it to a zombie and then attack, but yet if you did that, they wouldn't have cut the baby up. But so yes, that makes more sense.
No, I think it may have changed it to a zombie and then attacked. I don't know. I didn't see the baby get cut up. I mean obviously that was a zombie that was in there. Maybe it did something to the baby.
Right, like the person was alive and turned it some period.
Yeah,
of time.
And then it ate the baby or something. Right. I don't know, because it wasn't like a little baby zombie was around there.
Mm-mm.
That would be creepy to see though, a little baby zombie, mm-hmm. like an infant zombie.
We've seen children.
Yeah, but not babies.
Not that small, but we've seen children.
Like a baby zombie. Oh, that would be freaky. Anyway, she sees this baby that's been eaten, at least a shoe of it. And freaks the fuck out and runs and knocks over all the glass in the place. I'm just like, motherfucker.
Right.
You know?
Like, you gonna draw goddamn attention.
And Rosita, who's still frustrated and angry, even having to be out here with old Dumbo.
Right.
Is like, what the hell are you doing? And then Denise defensively tries to act like it's nothing. And then walks out like, mind your business. Like, shut up. You know, these Alexandrians, man, I fucking hate them. Like, they're just so, like, I don't hate them for not knowing shit as much as I hate them for being so defensive about not knowing shit. You know, they're like Trump voters. But, yeah, I'm surprised Rosita didn't cuss her ass out after she knocked all that glass down. Rosita probably had
in Spanish
a couple bottles, airplane bottles of alcohol in the system at that point.
Come on, dog.
You know, she probably
she's about to be the punta.
Right. Rest in peace to Bob. He would have enjoyed that alcohol.
Oh yeah.
So then Denise is walking with Daryl, and she talks about how she grabbed a sign, a little tag that said Dennis, and from the apothecary, and she was talking to Daryl about how she had an older brother, 6 minutes older. His name was Dennis, so they were twins. And he was angry and he was, you know, kind of quiet or whatever. And it made sense when she said, Daryl said it reminded him of Merle, But it makes sense, because when she said that Daryl reminded her of somebody two episodes ago, she must have been talking about her dead brother.
Okay, that makes sense now.
Kind of angry, kind of quiet, you know. Maybe that's why she's forgiving of him and nice to him, you know, trying to make this connection. I don't know. And this is the part where they start walking down the train tracks, because Daryl makes a compromise and says, okay, we can take the tracks back. It's quicker way. It's a quicker way back to the truck. And plus, you know, I'm not being a dick anymore. Sorry about earlier, basically. They all kind of start walking down the tracks, and it seems like everything is all good. They walk up past some cars that are on the side of the railway, and Denise decides, I better investigate.
I don't know. Was the day of I got to prove myself, because she did it and Eugene did it.
Yeah. People got to prove themselves, man. People are still people.
True.
And now what a lot of people don't realize when they say, well, that was stupid. These people live in a world with no TV anymore. Okay.
True.
Well, you don't have TV. You got to take some needless risky chances, guys. Yeah. Variety is the spice of life, as they say. But not nah, was she. And then here's the thing. She went to this car, and the car had a thermos in it. A cooler in it. And she was like, maybe something cool in the cooler. We can get it. And they were like, it's not worth it. Let's go. And she's like, no, I want it. And she's like yelling from, you know, whatever. And she tries to go in there and get the cooler anyway. And it was at this moment that I had a realization. And I just said, you know what? If there's a doctor at Hilltop, Denise is totally expendable as a character. That's redundancy, you know, as far as the show's concerned. I'm not saying I want her to die, but I'm like, if she died, that's fine. They already got another doctor, like, who's much more better prepared to, you know, with ultrasound equipment and shit. He takes Obamacare.
All the insurance,
you know, like he's a better doctor anyway. Denise gets the cooler and kills the zombie, even though it falls on top of her and all this shit. And Daryl and Rosita come down there, fuss at her and tell her, she's, you know, why are you taking these needless chances? And she turns and says, hey, y'all going to Hilltop and y'all killing niggas, man, and shit. That was a needless chance. We all taking chances. It's the only way to survive.
That's true.
And there's no difference between me taking this chance for, she got three Coke Zeros and an Orange Crush.
Yes, she did.
And then Daryl said, you did all this for four sodas, though. And she said, no, just one, the Orange Crush. And I'm like, wow, even in the future, people, even in zombie apocalypse, people don't want to fuck with Coke Zero. That's messed up. But yeah, it was just, she had this moment where she's like, this to me is all risky, it's all taking chances, and we all have to be prepared to take these chances, and I'm taking my chance for high fructose corn syrup. Sorry. And here's the thing I was thinking too. Maybe Denise was acting out because of her time with the wolf. Maybe she felt helpless during that time with the wolf and unprepared, and you know, she's like, she needed him to help her survive that herd of zombies, and she really wasn't able to do shit for herself.
Right. She was like, I won't be like that no more. I have to learn how to not be as helpless.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have like this, you know, trial by fire shit where it's like, I think the Alexandrians, more than anything, the thing that they've gotten from Rick's crew is they realize how useless they are and how they want to be of use.
Right, and I gotta be better. Yeah, because honey, she was sweating like the three little pigs when that dude was with her, and she was basically 100% helpless.
Yeah, she was just gonna go with him. She couldn't help, like, there was nothing she could do to get out of that situation.
Right, it was no fighting back or anything.
But for a chick named Denise, she sure was acting like a Theo at the moment. Rosita confronts her even further, and then she turns around and we find out, ta-da, the mission and the reason she chose Rosita and Daryl was because she is trained in psychology and she thought they needed some psychology help. She thought, you know, Daryl's tough and reminds her of her brother and makes her feel safe, so she took him with her. She thought Rosita has never been alone. Now, how do you think she meant that when she said Rosita's never been alone?
Just like that, never been alone. Alone as far as you never been without a man. You've never been, like alone, like, to yourself and in your own thought process. And proof of that is that she immediately went to Spencer. You know, so she's never had a time where she was literally by herself, had to be in her own thoughts.
So you do think Spencer is, in her mind, not necessarily a replacement for Abe, but a replacement for a warm body in the bed?
Yeah, a lot of people do that, but I know a lot of women do that because it's like, I'd rather have a dick than no dick.
Yeah. So, yeah, I took it as her saying, like, maybe, you know, Rosita is a codependent type person when it came to Abe. And she just, I don't know, for some reason was like, you know, you can come out here too. Anyway, they were both starting to listen to her. It seemed like she was getting through to him. Mm-hmm. And then she caught that Theon.
I did not see that coming. She was hard in the middle of that speech.
Yeah, a Theon is when you giving a really intense monologue you get fucked up. Because that's what happened to Theon more than once on Game of Thrones. And I feel like she caught the Theon.
Because she was talking and you heard, doof. I kept saying, oh no.
Yeah, my favorite part is that she gets an arrow through the eye. From the back of her head, shout out to Fetty Carl, but she didn't become Fetty Denise because it clearly went through her brain. But she kept trying to talk through it,
right? Because her mind was still functioning.
Yeah, that's what was so funny is like her mind was like, "I can make this work."
Yeah, you know what I mean? Pretty sure it went blurry and slow. It was like, but the.
Yeah, she was like, you need to, like, her brain was like, get off of me, I can do this myself, I can finish this sentence. Mm-hmm. I'm not too drunk to drive. Let me see if I can play it for you guys.
I mean it. Are you, do you have any clue what that was to me, what this whole thing is to me? See, I have training in this shit. I'm not making it up as I go along, like with the stitches and the surgery and the... I asked you to come with me because you're brave like my brother and sometimes you actually make me feel safe.
Shout out to her for not being able to come up with a third thing. Sorry.
And I wanted you here because you're alone. Probably for the first time in your life. And because you're stronger than you think you are, which gives me hope that maybe I can be too. I could have gone with Tara. I could have told her I loved her, but I didn't. Because I was afraid. That's what's stupid. Not coming out here, not facing my shit, and it makes me sick. That you guys aren't even trying because you're strong and you're smart and you're both really good people. And if you don't wake up and face your...
Her brain really was like, I can finish this. Just give me a second.
Yeah, I think her brain had already processed that information and it was just slow to be like,
wake up and...
Yeah, it's like sleep. Mo.
Oh my god, every time I see that, it is shocking.
Right.
I am surprised every single time. So yeah, she got hit in the head with that crossbow bolt. Which is sad, you know. So at that time we find out that it is an ambush. The guys from Negan's crew come out of the woods and they got Eugene hostage.
And to me, I know before we talked about the tracking, but you said it didn't have nothing to do with tracking. I honestly think it had everything to do with tracking. I know that I do agree with you with Terminix, but I also think for
Terminus,
but I also agree with tracking because, yeah, they went another route, but you know what? They went out in the open.
Well, nah, they took the road. They just didn't show. They don't show, like, they showed. Remember, okay, to go back, remember when Rosita was sitting down by the train tracks and then Daryl and Denise walk up? Mm-hmm. They're walking down the road. They're just walking in the middle of the road. They didn't take a path. They didn't cut through the woods. There's no secret. They just took the long way around down the road because Daryl was like, I'm not taking railroad tracks anymore.
Okay. And
it wasn't like a secret path that keeps them from being tracked. There was no advantage to it. He was being a dick. You know, I mean, he decided that he doesn't do tracks anymore. Like, it wasn't, and that's why he didn't mind taking the tracks back. It wasn't about being careful. It was just he thinks tracks are fucked up at the terminus.
Okay.
That's what I got from that. You know, he's just, and for the record, it's not like I blame him. Terminus was fucked. They was eating people.
Yeah, they were.
You might not want to take railroad tracks anymore. You might be done with railroad tracks. I get it.
Yeah, but, and I think once they showed up, it was more, I guess in my mind, I was like, he was right. Y'all asses should have took the other route.
Maybe. I felt like this ambush was probably inevitable. You know, like, they had been waiting. Because the thing is, if it was just about taking the tracks, they probably would have ambushed Rosita when she went through there. You know, I think they had been waiting for an opportunity to get all of them together. And, well, as we see, the people who come up there, come out of the woods with Eugene and hostage. One of them we know already.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who stole Daryl's crossbow and his bike.
Yep. And he was like, y'all, you gonna be sorry if I ever see you again.
Yep. And the crossbow bolt that killed Denise came from Daryl's crossbow.
Mm-hmm. It was stolen.
Yep. You know Denise's favorite TV show?
What?
Arrow.
Oh,
I know. That joke was a bullseye. Right, we can move on.
You know what Denise was saying that happened in The Flash.
What? That joke?
No, that's terrible.
Joke is not even accurate. It doesn't. No, have anything
I don't.
To do with mine.
I don't even care.
Let's just move on. Clearly, you get the point. That's how you do it, Karen. Okay, that's how the big dogs do it.
I am terrible at this. Tip your waitresses, y'all. That's why I'm, you know, I'm the headliner. He comes behind me.
You the yeah, I'm the headliner.
I mean, you the headliner.
You the opener.
Yeah, I'm opener. I'm a terrible ass opener too. I'm the opener. You be looking at you tune me out while you too busy ordering your margaritas and your shrimp.
Your puns are terrible.
I know they are.
That's because she was a super girl. No, that has nothing to do with the joke I was making about arrows. All right, let's hurry up because we know we got a boat after this. So yeah, we find out that the guy now has half his face burned.
Yeah.
And immediately I was like, you clever motherfuckers. Oh, God, I love this show. I read the comics and I love this show. And I said, is this nigga been Dwight the whole time?
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Oh, I was like, they got me.
Yeah, they got me too.
We got Dwight's backstory in the show. Mm-hmm. We know what happened as opposed to the comics where they had to tell you much later. Like, we were there. We saw what happened.
Right.
He ran away, it appears, from Negan and those guys.
And probably ended up getting caught.
Got caught, came back at some point, and got his face burned.
Mm-hmm. Got fucked up in the paint.
Yep. So Daryl's just like, motherfucker, you killed my friend with my crossbow. Should have killed your ass. And the guy was like, still getting the hang of it, kicks like a bitch. And He said, Daryl says, I should have done it. The guy's like, I can't hear you. What are you talking about? What'd you say? No, really, say it again. He's like, I should have done it. Should have killed you, you know, when I had the chance. Mm-hmm. And Dwight was like, I wasn't even trying to kill Denise. So that's what's funny is she died by accident. Cause like I said, kicks like a son of a bitch.
So it's in for Daryl.
Daryl or Rosita, I'm assuming Daryl.
Right.
Then we see that over by the barrels, as Eugene is on his knees as a hostage, over by the barrels we see Abe. Mm-hmm. And we just see a little bit of Abe's face. He makes eye contact with Eugene and then that's it.
Yeah, coming up in the back like SEAL Team 6.
Yeah, and he's got his machine gun. And Dwight says, look, we seen your pretty little sanctuary. We know you got some stuff in there. It's probably real nice in there. We're going to take whatever and whoever we want. And it's coming back with us. We normally don't start the transactions like this, but here we are. And if y'all don't tell us, if y'all don't get us in, I'm going to shoot Eugene in the head. Then I'm going to shoot Rosita in the head. Then I'm going to shoot Daryl in the head last. I hope it doesn't go that way, but nobody else has to die. But if y'all don't play, if y'all don't cooperate, somebody will. And that's when Eugene was like, if you're gonna kill people, then you should start with Abe over there by them barrels. And I said, this Rat Fink motherfucker, right? This, how petty can you be? You still mad over that goddamn iron zombie? Well, you tried to kill a metal zombie and you mad at Abe.
Right.
Come on, dude. You know? And so apparently they look over there, they don't see Abe, but they're like, Dwight's like, sends his men to go check. And while his men are, and he pulls out a gun just in case. So he's got a gun and a crossbow now. And when he sends his men to go check, Abe is no longer over there, and Eugene bites Dwight in the dick.
Yeah, I did not see that coming.
Nobody saw that coming. That, like, I, like, listen, I want to live as much as the next man, but I don't know if I want to live that much.
By any means, this is,
I guess that's a true test if you're homophobic or not, because if you just gotta live, you gotta live. And so Eugene bit that man's nuts and held on with the ferocity of Donald Trump on the number one seat to the GOP throne.
Right. I'm not giving it up.
He was like, these balls are mine. And so he latched onto those balls like a fucking, moray, and Dwight was so fucked up. He couldn't even like shoot him or nothing. Cause
right. Catch you off guard.
Yeah, it's his mouth on his balls, like just all. Oh, so he's just like trying to push him off his dick, and then Abe flanks the dudes that came to you know, go to try to kill him, and then all of a sudden, you know, Daryl slashes the dude's throats. He gets a gun. Rosita grabs a gun, and now they're having a shootout across the train tracks. Mm-hmm. Eugene is still on this man's balls. It's like, damn boy, just get off his dick, you know?
Literally.
They have a shootout and eventually the saviors retreat, but not before Dwight turns around and pops two shots into Eugene. And Daryl was gonna go pursue them because he said next time he saw him he's gonna kill him, and he has to stop because Eugene is bleeding out and they have to get him back. So they actually have to leave Denise's body there on the railroad tracks.
Right, they couldn't even take her.
And Daryl and Rosita and Abe carry Eugene back to safety. Turns out that the shot was just, he just got grazed, so it wasn't that, you know, it was okay. And some of the medicine that Denise got for them may help fight off the infection so he won't get infected. So, you know, that's good. My man, Eugene, makes, Abe apologize. Abe sincerely apologizes. Says, I apologize for questioning your skills. You know how to bite a dick, Eugene. And I mean that with the utmost respect.
That line made me laugh.
He told Eugene, welcome to level 2. And Eugene said, no need to welcome me, I've been here for quite a while. And then Abe showed up on Sasha's doorstep like fucking John Cusack and Say Anything and said,
his boombox.
Yeah, he said, permission to come inside and pour that Bisquick all over you, baby. You like, you got some Aunt Jemima syrup? For my people that don't watch the show, like, did he really say that? Because he'd be saying that corny shit. But nah, he said, we could have 30 years here and that would still be too short. And he basically was asking her, can he be with her? And she said, come inside. What'd you think about that moment?
That was sweet.
It was sweet. All right.
Mm-hmm. Because like I said, her thing was like, I will not be a side chick.
Yeah.
And people had to remember, the community got about 8 to 12 houses in it. Mm-hmm. So when they broke up, ain't like it was nobody knew. Everybody knew.
Daryl and Carol buried Denise, and Carol said to Daryl, you were right. I knew it when you said it. So that face she gave him earlier when she was kind of looking like she didn't want to admit that he should have killed those people, mm-hmm, that stole his bike. Well, it all came full circle. Denise got killed by his crossbow from the people that stole his bike that he didn't kill.
Right.
And she's like, you know, I knew it when you said it. And then they had this montage, kind of like the same montage they had in the opening, except this time they're moving the guns from Olivia's care to somewhere else. So the armory is no longer with the food. Who knows exactly why they did that, but I'm assuming for safety reasons, just in case they've been scouting the place.
And she's still the fucking worst.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Olivia is the worst.
Yeah, you can't have the food with the bullets. Ain't no telling, you know. Nah, they need to be out of her care.
And then Carol writes a Dear John letter to the entire town. Tobin finds it first, but she basically says she's leaving.
Yeah, she walked out like a ninja.
Says she's leaving in the middle of the night. She leaves because she loves the group. And she feels like she would have to kill for the group. And she doesn't want to kill people anymore. So she can't be there. Which is kind of a cop out because Morgan found a way to be there without killing people.
True.
And there's other people in the group that can't or don't kill that find a way to coexist. She doesn't have to do this way, but somehow she's come to the realization that she will be this way.
Right. And she's like, I can't just not do anything when I know I can do something.
Well, there's other things she can do. She don't have to be killing. She can keep making them cookies.
True.
You know, true, but she has other skills.
Yeah, it's one of them things like you a ninja and all of a sudden people go, nah, don't be no ninja no more. We need for you to level down. And she was like, nah, I'm going.
I think it's even worse ninja. Though, Karen, because no one's telling her not to be a ninja.
That's true.
They're saying we would like you to be a ninja. She's like, I don't want to be a ninja no more. And if I stay here, I'm going to have to be doing ninja shit.
Right. So I'm going to leave.
Yeah. She talked about Rick sending her away and then she came back and then everything popped off. So she stayed with the group. And my heart was breaking for Daryl because he's the one that always talked her into staying.
Yeah.
He caught her trying to slide off a few times. And that one time he caught her trying to slide off at the church. And they saw the car that abducted Maggie. And that was the only reason they didn't. Beth, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone would have wrote in. And that was the only reason they didn't, that she didn't leave at that time.
Right.
So she's always seemed like maybe she's been waiting for a time to leave. I think something snapped in her, after she killed Carol and, that other dude when she burned those bodies when they had the plague going around. I really think something snapped in her then.
Yeah, that, and I know it might sound weird, but I think, they did a thing where they did like a montage with her by herself. Off by herself, and I think that it might sound weird, but she may have been at peace at that period of time because she had to kill. But at just then again, she might not have had to. She could have just avoided people and been at a place where she didn't have to. And she knew when she came back with the group that was something she was going to have to do.
And if you look at the group, she as she said in her letter, we have nice things compared to everybody else. Someone, whether it's Negan or the next person, will always be trying to take this nice things. So there's never going to be a point where we can chill. I'm going to always have to kill as long as we're here. And she doesn't want to kill anymore. She says, I can't love anyone because I can't kill anyone. And like so many people are very upset with the turn that this is taking. I told people there's nowhere else to take the character, so I don't know what they want to see from Carol. Just forever be a badass who stays alive in every situation and all this shit. I think some of the expectations of people who watch this show are just extremely, it's like, why are you watching this show? Because like, mm-hmm. I don't want anyone to die. It's like, well, that's what they do. They build characters up to make you feel like, you know, sad when they die, you know, but they're all right. Gonna die at some point, except for probably Rick and maybe Carl, maybe nobody else. The point being, though, I really think we have to consider that maybe Carol's not leaving because she doesn't want to kill anyone. I think she's really leaving because she doesn't want to love anyone.
Yeah, that connection. Yeah, because I think the connection thing got to her the most, because she was devastated when her daughter died, you know, and then she was fucked up in the paint with Sam, and you know, it's one of those things where she was like, I would like to start a relationship with you, dude, but I don't want to build this connection with you and then you end up dying on me.
Yeah, that's the feeling I got. I think a lot of people took away some other feelings from it, but the feeling I got more than anything else was she doesn't want to lose all this again. Like, she does love these people,
mm-hmm.
but she won't allow herself to love these people because she feels like, as long as I'm here and I don't kill for this group, I'm hurting the group. And she can't be a hypocrite that talks shit to Morgan about how he was hurting the group with his peaceful pacifism and all this shit, and then turn around and be like, but I'm gonna have the same thing. Like, one, the audience would have flipped the fuck out. Like, what? He ruined Carol, which they already are saying.
Right.
But then two, I really think she wouldn't have been taking her own advice, which is, you might not want to do certain things, and that's fine. But if you do, then you can't be part of a group. You can't be part of this group. So you're just holding everybody back. And I think,
she was like, I'd rather leave than to deal with it.
That's what I took from it.
Right.
You know, I know other people took different things. I'm sure we'll hear some in the email segment of the show. But that's what I took from it. Speaking of email segment of the show, the email segment is brought to you by Bevel. That's right. Bevel has a special deal to help you try out the Bevel shaving system. You can get your first month free. Yes, free, by using code FREETBGWT. But make sure you guys, get in there, cause it's a limited time offer. It's not forever. But make sure you guys get in there and do it, because you want to get that free shaving system. Try it on your face and you'll never go back. I'm telling you, I can't imagine using any other thing on my face, period. It's been over a year. I literally can't imagine going back. If I put another one of them razors on my face, I think I would cry. Okay. It would be like Fife died all over again. Okay. I can't deal with it. So, I say you treat yourself the same way that I do. You know, go to getbevel.com and use code FREETBGWT and get your first month free. Now, it's only for new customers and memberships only. So if you've been wanting to try Bevel, now's the perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
So go to Get Bevel.
No, mm-hmm. I'm going to see. It's spring in the L.
Yeah. You know, sundress season's going to be upon mm-hmm. us soon, and you're going to want to look your best. So getbevel.com. If you're a lady and you've been wondering how it works on lady parts, now's the time.
Yes.
Getbevel.com, code FREETBGWT. All right, let's get to the emails. Let's see here. When did this one come in? All right. Day walking for Orange Sunkissed. This is from Cecil. Sup, Bod and Karen. I like this episode. The show is kind of in the rinse repeat cycle of leave the safe, go on a run, interact with people, walkers, someone dies and or gets hurt. The reason I don't care that the show does this is because I care about the characters. I care about the relationships that have been built over the years. Anyways, two things that stuck out for me. Well, first of all, let me just address this. I don't know what else people will want the show to become, because that is life, and something unexpected always happens every time the shit happens. So it's like they've done some things they've never done before this season that have been different. And I think people just get tired of the fact that the characters are gonna make mistakes and take chances, but that's what the fuck this is.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't have a show where no one takes chances or does or nothing bad ever happens, nothing stupid ever happens.
You wouldn't want that show.
Yeah, people don't have emotions and shit. Like, it's just crazy. Like, I don't know, people are weird. And then when it happens for other shows, it gets a pass. I don't know why it's this show that people get down the hardest on, but
right, because I've seen shows with exact.
Yeah, other shows do shit like this too, where people have ridiculously over the top emotional reactions and people give it a pass, and it's like the same shit, you know. You're like, I like The Leftovers season two, but they had crazy shit in there where you're like, that is the worst way to handle this. But I think that's what drama is for TV, is some people like pick the worst way to handle shit, and those are actually the interesting people, you know. I know
Rosetta Stone,
right? And A were together for a long time, but I didn't think she would take it so hard. You think people wouldn't get too attached to folks, especially after they found out Eugene lied about DC? I don't know, man. Maybe she's never really been alone. Maybe she looked at him as protection. Maybe she genuinely loved him, and the only reason he couldn't love her back is because he always thought about his dead wife.
True. And it's just one of those things where they have been together so long. People do have emotional attachments to people.
Yes. I mean, if a war broke out over here, I mean, put it this way. In America, we had slavery. You think slaves couldn't love each other? Or they were like, oh, you know, anything can happen any day, so we better not love each other. If anything, that shit might make you love somebody harder, knowing that the next day they could get killed by a zombie.
Right. And it's one of the things where it was just them three for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Two, towards the end of the episode after Eugene got shot, why was the crew running so fast to get him home and made to the homemade hospital? Denise wasn't seeing patients anytime soon. Smiley face. Anyway, y'all's recaps as always. Enjoy y'all's recaps as always. I missed sending out an email last week, but when that redhead lady said, hey asshole, to Rick, was that a throwback to when Glenn first called Rick on the walkie talkie while he was in the tank on season one? Maybe that was something that he said. So maybe it was a callback. You know, they do a bunch of little Easter egg type shit on this show all the time. He also wrote in, my bad, last thing for real. Why do black people die early in horror movies? White people do the dumbest thing for the dumbest reasons. Too bad Denise couldn't see that before it was too late. Sorry, I couldn't resist. I think you just wanted to get that Denise joke in. Because black people die early in horror movies. I don't know what that has to do with the show. Day Walking, Turk writes in, hey guys. Why does this group have such a hard time telling people who have no business out to stay home? Denise didn't even know the most basic rule, which is you use your indoor voice outside. Tara's yeah, she also knocked down all that glass and shit. Tara's right. The real victim here. Whose kitty box is she going to eat now?
Right, and Tara don't even know because Tara out on the run.
Mm-hmm. Let me just add this. Nobody can tell anybody what to do in the zombie apocalypse. There's no fucking rules. What are you going to do? If somebody is refusing to listen, I legit want people to think about what should be done. If you're in Rick's society, you're not with Terminus, you're not with Negan. Someone goes, I want to go outside the walls. You allow other people to go in and out of the walls. I want to go out of the walls. Well, you're the doctor. I don't give a fuck. I'm going out the walls and I'm going to find this medicine. What do you do? Like, people keep saying the group shouldn't do this. What do you do? They have a free society in Rick's group. You either do or you don't, you know? And once you cross the line and start being like, these people are basically prisoners inside of Alexandria because they're too important to leave, that's another line that you talk, and you have to have a big discussion about that shit.
True.
Y'all was talking bad about Hilltop having slaves. I don't know. Y'all sound like y'all might want to put some people on y'all premises and lock them in. Speaking of crotches, Eugene was an MVP this week. He really leveled it up by using his most useful asset in such an impactful way. Negan's crew should be terrified of Rick's crew. They bite dicks, burn people alive, and murder sleeping people. What won't they do? Sasha is about to give Abe something he can feel. A lot of people on my timeline said she is settling. I disagree because Spencer tried to holler, so I assume other guys in the ASZ, Alexandra say so maybe, have as well. If this is the guy she chooses, then I ship them. I don't know. Do you feel like Sasha's settling, messing with Abe, Karen?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, I don't think she was.
Yeah, I didn't feel that she was settling, but I do think Abe's hella corny, though. And I know his sex talk is weak. That's all I'm saying. You want all this mother dick?
She gonna be so confused.
Mm-hmm. How is anyone in the Arizona safe zone? I mean, Alexandria safe zone.
Arizona safe zone.
This ASD thing is fucking me up. It looks like Arizona with an S in the middle. Anyway, able to sleep at this point. Negan had these huge groups out roaming the countryside. Who knows how many eyes they had on the two run crews. Daryl should have followed those dudes, picked off all except one, helped get Eugene to the car, and him and Abe should have followed the trail while it was still fresh. That's easy to say. I think that's a lot more difficult to do. They didn't know how serious the injury was to Eugene.
Right.
I think also, it's just as likely Daryl goes and follows that group and gets killed. You know, then you're down your best guy because he decided to take on five guys that did get the drop on them, and were well armed. The other thing about it that I don't think they knew the Saviors had them under surveillance until this very moment. So we don't know how they sleep at night because this will be the first night after this confrontation. Up until this point, they've always assumed the Saviors don't know their location because they've killed everybody that they've come into contact with. So they could have felt relatively safe and that they took care of all the threats, and they, as far as they know, they just have a trade agreement with Hilltop and they're good to go. By the way, Karen, how do you think the Saviors knew their location?
That's a good question. I have no idea. You know what? No. Because you were saying before how you think Maggie may have told that girl, but she ended up dying. And that was the only person, because Carol didn't say anything.
Yeah. So I have a theory.
Go ahead.
My theory is somebody snitching.
No, okay.
I think Negan went to the Hilltop group because the Hilltop knew where that outpost was.
Oh.
I bet you Negan then went to the Hilltop and was like, hey, motherfuckers, we know you hired somebody to come fuck with our shit. You got all our people killed. Now, who the fuck are y'all fucking with and where are they at? Because I'm going to kill y'all if I don't find out.
I bet you it was Gregory.
Well, Gregory would sell anybody out in a heartbeat. I trust Jesus. Maybe it's his name.
I don't think it was Jesus.
I'm trying to think who else we met there. I don't know, but all those people knew probably that they were from Alexandria, so it could be anybody. But I just think, and Gregory is the slimiest one. Mm-hmm. Okay, but clearly they know the location. They've scouted them for a while. I doubt that's random, or else they would have come across them before. So I feel like this is a clear indication that somebody snitched them out. Because I don't think they just tracked them back.
Somebody snitched them out, or Rick's theory, eventually they were going to find them anyway.
Which is also possible. Yeah, right. It's possible. But either way, you can't live your life that way because you need food and you need to make bullets and you need to make plans for the future. So I think the group has to take chances. I just think if we could get people to understand that fundamentally, that food isn't being made unless you make it.
Nope.
You can't get supplies unless you go get them. This isn't your cushy life where you can go to Amazon Prime and have them send some shit to Alexandria and eat it and stay indoors. You have to take chances at some point. And so at some point, you have to leave. And if you want to, you know, have bullets, or maybe you can help arm Hilltop, maybe just to keep yourselves armed. These are the kind of sacrifices you have to make. These are the chances you have to take. people want to have a show where nobody takes chances because they're paralyzed with fear, but let's be honest, y'all are gonna die anyway. You might as well try to contribute something. Let's see. She also said that priority needs to be finding the main compound. Well, see, until this point, they didn't know they didn't find the main compound.
Right. They thought that this was it.
Yeah, they just found this shit out like we did. Wouldn't be shocked if someone from Negan's crew followed them home and is waiting to murder the Alexandrians in their sleep. Peace, Turk. Maybe. I don't know. That'll be an interesting twist if that's what happens, you know. But I feel like the next time we see that crew is going to be at the gates of Alexandria and it's going to be full force, like, hey, motherfuckers. You know, like, I don't think it's going to be I don't think we're going to get another one of these satellite groups. Mm-mm. Rolling up. I think we about to see some fireworks, because the next time they come through, it's about to be like, okay, y'all ain't nobody to fuck with. We ain't nobody to fuck with, but let's see who got the bigger dick.
Right.
John Wright said, dear writer Karen, I think you are so right about Karen being totally over the super ninja role, and I think this most recent episode is more evidence. She's run away now and says that she's tired of killing for other people. I don't know if she's gone full Morgan with the very Morgan, with the Morgan voice. Every life is precious. Attitude towards every walker, or towards even the walkers, or she's just through killing non-zombies except when she absolutely has to in order to stay alive. But I get the feeling she's done with the gratuitous killing, and I think you all are right that it looks like she's gonna die. I predict that she will somehow get drawn in one last fight between the saviors and Rick's crew, and that she will do some sort of throw yourself on a grenade move to save the crew as her final act of motherly sacrifice. That said, like many, I will be so bummed if she does. She's been one of the best characters of any show I've seen in years. It's gonna be like losing all the Starks at once, but who knows? Maybe this is just a big head fake and it's gonna be somebody else that leaves the show. Fingers crossed. Yeah, I don't have any idea. I feel like, I just feel like that character has come full circle, and I don't know. Look, and like I said last week, doesn't mean they can't come up with some new shit. I just haven't thought of it. Yeah, that's why you watch the show, right? Maybe they'll come up with some shit that I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't think you could take this character that way.
Right.
But I feel like she's come all the way to her story arc. I just don't know what's left for her to do. I think at this point, people like holding on to certain characters because they like those characters, and that's all there is to it. They just want to see them in a show every week. But they, at some point, it's not true to the show. And people use a lot of confirmation bias with this shit. So it's like, this week they didn't kill Abe. So then people are like, see, they just love that character so much. But if they do kill Abe, then they're like, this fucking show is so predictable. And so it's like, they can't win with a lot of fans. So they just have to do their thing. I personally like that it differs from the comic books. And I like that when certain characters die, I feel something for them because I like or dislike those characters.
True.
You know, I hate that Denise died, to be honest.
But I like
Denise as a character, but somebody was gonna die, and she was acting stupid. But somebody was gonna die that day, you know? Damon writes in, Ron and Karen, what's up? I'm Day Day from out of Detroit. I love the play by play of The Walking Dead Wednesday. Sometimes if I miss the show, I listen to y'all first. My nigga, keep up the good work. I listen to y'all all the time. Can't wait to hear tonight's episode. Hey, thank you, man.
Thank you, sweetie.
Appreciate you checking out the show. And lastly, EVE writes in, hello Rod and Karen, is it me or is Rick starting to look at Morgan like he used to look at Father Gabriel?
Getting that dirty look.
He's like, do I need to kill you? I don't know. Maybe. Remember that when Rick threw those flyers away in right in Gabriel's face, Rick looked at Morgan's prison
fuck your flyers.
Like he looked at Gabriel's flyers. I do feel like the prison may come in handy later, but for now the savers don't seem like the type of people who would willingly be locked up. Well, they won't willingly. The cell hold about one person, okay? I ain't saying they gonna put everybody
in that cell. That Mayberry jail cell.
But at some point, they're gonna have to make a point and put somebody in the motherfucking cell, because they can't be killing everybody. You just can't. Denise was really working my nerves this episode, and I was kind of wishing something happened to her to make her realize she wasn't about that life, but dang, couldn't Dwight have let her finish that sentence before shooting an arrow through her head? Rest in peace, Denise. Yeah, that's my favorite part of her dying, is every single person on my timeline was like, I just hope somebody kill this bitch. Bam! Like, everybody was like, I'm sick of her shit. She's Alexandrians, these motherfuckers. And as soon as they killed her, no!
Cause the shit came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. I just like how everybody's a hypocrite. Everybody wished death on her for that, for those antics that she did over the fucking orange soda. And then as soon as she died, everybody was like, why did you do this? Like, I saw people, I honestly saw people blaming The Walking Dead for apparently there's another show that had a LGBT person die this week, you know, fictionally die, of course. And then Denise died this week, and people was like, this trend has got to stop, where LGBT characters. And I was like, wait a minute, there's no way The Walking Dead can know this week will be the week another show killed a gay person.
Right.
It's impossible for them to know that 16 weeks ago or whenever they wrote this season. But that's how, like, that's how mad people were about the, you know, it's,
they've been filming this, dog.
Yeah, and I think every death is kind of that way. If a black person dies, is, and I don't know, like I said, and I'm a black person and I don't subscribe to that. Like, I think every person on the show is in line to get killed, and if anybody can get it at any time, and I'm okay with that. But there's a lot of people who watch these shows, and their entire take on it is, who gets killed and then the dynamics of who gets killed, and that's it. You know what I mean? Sure, they've killed five blonde white women at this point, but that doesn't count. If a black person gets killed, then the show is racist. If a lesbian person gets killed, the show is sexist, you know, is homophobic. Like, it's just no fucking way to watch this show that way. At least I can't watch it that way. A lot of people, I think, watch it that way and get some kind of almost enjoyment or something out of being like, of course they killed this person. And I'm like, okay, you know, I just can't watch it that way, or else I'd probably go crazy trying to figure out the connection to be pissed about each death. But yeah, but the point being, when it hurts, when they kill a character that you really like, or you didn't want to see die that way, it does always make you wish, like, there's a reason. Why'd you target this person? And I think people felt that way about Denise. And I to me, that's a good death. That's a good writing. That's when Tyrese died, and people start writing think pieces about every black person that's ever died on the show. And you're like, that's because y'all, that was a good death. That character meant something to people.
True.
You know, as opposed to, you know, by the way, I was going to say another character, but you know what? I already know how niggas is. If they kill like Father Gabe, half of y'all motherfuckers will be like, y'all went from being like, I want him to die, to see, this is racist that the white man would kill Father Gabe.
Put it like this, I did want Gabe to die. Now I don't.
That's when they kill him.
But yeah. Initially, I was like, this nigga got to go.
I wish I wrote this show, because that's when I would kill people. I kill all y'all faves in the worst ways. Y'all would hate the show, because I'd be killing them niggas. I'd be like, oh, that baby, Judith? Ooh, the things I would write about Judith. I put that baby in zombie danger every week. Y'all would be like, what is wrong with this show? Anyway, I hope they find my bae Carol. I wonder if the writers are setting her up for to save the crew again. Another great episode. And I guess Eugene's new name is the Nutcracker, and Dwight now has half a face and half a ball. I will say this. I don't think they're writing
I don't think she
Carol can. To come back and save the crew.
I don't think she's saving the day no more.
Yeah, I think that's a wrap. I hope they don't find out they're dead. Hope Negan don't get to her first. But I done told y'all, it's a lot. It is way too many characters on this show right now. So
it is quite a lot, yeah.
I feel like it's a culling coming, and somebody's, like, I went from who they gonna kill in the finale to like, oh, they got to kill like five people. Like, it's like they need to kill multiple people to end the season, or else it's some bullshit.
A lot of Alexandrias and a lot of folks over there from the other crew. And the Hilltop too.
Just hope it ain't y'all favorite people, cause I think some people gotta go, and there's all kinds of people in the show right now that didn't make it this far. There's all kinds of people in the crew that need to die, you know, as far as I'm concerned. So your boy is excited to see how they finish this season. There's two episodes left, and I'm telling you, the blood need to pour. It's It's been a while. Y'all got too comfortable. Okay. Y'all starting to be like them people that didn't want Jon Snow to die, and I'm sick of it. I want all the people faves to die.
Fuck you, little boy.
I hope, listen, I hope they kill Michonne. That's right. I want it to hurt. I want whatever it is. Mm-mm. I want all y'all to be, I hope it's Carol and who else? Who else ain't never did nothing to nobody? I think Heath needs to die. Carol needs to die. Heath needs to die because he got that wig, and plus that actor's supposed to go play 24 next year. So I feel like he dead, period. I want to see Carol die. I wouldn't mind seeing Daryl die, to be honest. I don't want to see Michonne or Rick die, if I'm being honest with y'all. But I would love to see the reaction if they kill Michonne, just because my timeline would explode.
Oh, new timeline would be lit the fuck up.
We would not be able to do emails that week. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Nah, don't kill Michonne. I don't want to deal with the fallout.
A lot of angry black women.
Oh, Judith. Oh, if they kill Judith.
I mean, a lot of people be mad. Don't get me going. But it'll be a lot of angry black women.
You still talking about Michonne? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want the people that people don't want to die. That's the best part of the show. The best part of the book. You just look up and you're like, God damn, they did it. You know, like that's what separates this show from all the other shows on TV. You know, like I don't really care about, you know, them doing stupid shit from week to week or this fucked up or that fucked up. Nah, man. Best shit is when they kill somebody that you love. And all the thing you could think is like, how am I going to ever watch this shit again? They done killed my homie. You know? It's the best part of the show, in my opinion.
I don't want none of this. I hope, what is his name? Ollie get fucked up in the paint.
So you want everybody to live forever?
I know that's not realistic.
Yeah, either. I know. Ain't nobody want to watch your show. Ain't nobody want to watch what you talking about.
I didn't say I had the answers or the ideas. I'm just talking from my perspective. Okay. I know it's irrational and goddamn illogical. I understand this concept.
That's why they got to do it. Look how mad you are. I'm just talking about it. I don't have any control over the show. I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. Look how angry people get mad. Just think about it. Think about your favorite character and think about Negan showing up and fucking that motherfucker up. Oh, I hope he killed like five people. I want people to be like, season 7, we are going to get this motherfucker. That's how I want people thinking about season 7. That would be the perfect way to end this season, is just lose like 5-6 cast members and just a culling. And the only thing people can think about is next season, you know?
Yeah. That'd be a great way to end.
Rosita ain't did nothing to nobody. Oh, kill Rosita.
She sure ain't.
Kill Rosita. Then we had to all root for Spencer and Eugene. Anyway. Sword ratcheting this time. My sword. Sound effect. Where did I move it? Huh.
Did it move?
I don't know. I don't see it.
Is it called Swords?
Is called Sword Fight or something. There we go. Oh, somebody in the chat room just won. Who said? Oh, I want to give you credit. Reese Nicole won. They got to kill Maggie and that baby. Oh! Kill Maggie and that baby! Yes! Oh, God.
People lose their minds.
Oh, I might. Oh, my God. Oh, I might throw my remote through the TV. Yes! Do it to me, Kirkman. Make me feel that pain. Walking Dead ain't nothing but BDSM for TV. Everybody tune in every week. They be hurt. And I love it. It's kind of better than Game of Thrones that way. In some ways. Like, I love Game of Thrones. I think Game of Thrones, like, probably the best show on TV, but so impure, just emotion and anger and shit at people for making fucked up decisions. I don't know, man. This shit might got him. They might got him. Cause like niggas died in the, like Denise just died talking today.
An arrow through the head.
Just
dog.
An arrow through the face. Just bam, you dead. That's it. Nobody care about your inspirational speech. Like that sheer, the audacity of that. I don't know if Game of Thrones has that level of just like every week you could die just a random fucking scene, you know? I don't know. I gotta think about it, but I don't know. This, I'm sure when them Thrones come back, I'll be back to like, oh, what was I thinking? But anyway, sore ratchetness.
Star attack plans a Memphis woman behind bars. Now, police say that Bianca Perry got into a fight with her ex-boyfriend over some text messages. They say that she got so angry, she grabbed a sword from above the fireplace, and she started swinging at him. She wasn't able to hit him, though. Perry has been charged with aggravated assault. The sword tagged into evidence.
There you go. Guess race black.
Bianca had enough of this shit.
Why are you coming home in the morning? She put that sword out.
Can I smell your dick?
All right, man. I don't know how we made 2 hours out of this. Rest in peace, Fife Dog. Shout out to Tribe Called Quest. Shadow Dog Productions, make sure you get our album the Sunspot and Other Ratchetness, and make sure you gotta you check out Bevel Free TBGWT, getbevel.com. We'll be back on Saturday for feedback. Until then, love you.
I love you too. Mwah.